Commission. I'm joined in studio this morning by the Minister for Finance, Michael McGrath. You're very welcome, Minister.
Good morning, Mary.
You're here to talk to us about this new supports package for business, and we will come to that shortly in some detail. But I do want to start with the changes to welfare payments for Ukrainian refugees. And to find out from you, two things to start with. First of all, the timing of this, just ahead of European and local elections when politicians are out on the doorsteps, and the rationale behind the changes as well, because 27,000, we're told, or thereabouts, are going to see cuts to their welfare from €232 to €38.80 a week.
But the government has to continue to govern irrespective of where we are in the electoral cycle, and the examination of this issue has been underway for some time. There will be a lead-in period of about 12 weeks. I think it's important that we are consistent in the treatment and the supports that we provide for Ukrainian people who come to Ireland. And I think as a state and as a people, we have been very generous. And I believe that that will continue into the future. But we have a situation where people who arrived since March are in a very different system and getting a very different level of support. So the change that was decided yesterday by Cabinet relates to people who came from Ukraine prior to the change in March, who are in state-supported and serviced accommodation, so who are provided with accommodation, provided with food, provided with laundry services and so on, and who will now get a rate of payment that is in line with those who followed them. And we think that is fair and proportionate and consistent. There will be a lead-in period. It is a reflection of the overall pressure that we are under. We are accommodating about 100,000 people between Ukrainians and international protection.
Just on that, Minister, that's about housing and accommodation. That's not about contributions in welfare.
Well, it's relevant in terms of sustainability, because it's important whatever level of supports we have in place are sustainable in every respect. And it is anomalous to have a situation where people who came after a certain date are treated very differently to people who came prior to that date. And that is what is changing here. And we will work collectively now as a government to ensure that this is implemented in a reasonable and a fair manner over the next 12 weeks.
How do you know it is 27,000? Or do you know how many people we're talking about?
Well, that is the estimate that we have,
Where does that estimate come from?
Well, that comes from the government departments that are directly across the detail of the social protection payments that are being paid to Ukrainians, and also the provision of accommodation to Ukrainians. So we have an extensive data bank of information relating to the state supports for people who've come here from Ukraine. I think it's important to put it in context. Since the outbreak of the war, it's almost 107,000 people have fled the war in Ukraine and have been granted temporary protection in Ireland. They're not all still here. We estimate that approximately 86,000 of that 107,000 who came here from Ukraine remain in the state, and over 66,000 are in state-supported accommodation. And this change will impact on about 27,000. It doesn't impact on those who are in pledged accommodation, those who are in the private rental sector, those who are working, so it is a proportion.
So it's the most vulnerable.
There is an adult allowance.
It's the most vulnerable. It's the old. It's the children. It's the mothers. It's the people who can't get work, who can't enter the workplace because of their particular set of circumstances.
But they will continue to be provided with the most important and basic need of all, which is state-provided accommodation, food, shelter and other services, and will continue to receive an adult payment, a child payment and child benefit as well. But we are faced with a situation where the supports for many people are very different to the supports for people who came from the very same place but on a different date. And I think that is an inconsistency which we have to address. And we have to ensure that our overall system is sustainable. And I don't think when the war broke out, 2.25 years ago, that anybody thought it would last as long.
But it has. It's getting worse for Ukrainians. And, 2 years ago, we opened our homes and we opened our hearts. And it looks like the government is now slamming that door in the faces of Ukrainians at a time when Russia is stepping up the intensity of this war.
I don't accept that. Ireland's response to the war in Ukraine has been exemplary. At the state level, at the community level, people have opened their homes, we've opened our schools, we have welcomed Ukrainians into our communities. Many of them are working. Almost 19,000, we believe, are currently working, making a contribution to our state. We have supported all of the international efforts, except in the area of lethal weapons, in respect of our position of military neutrality. So Ireland has been to the fore at an international level in supporting Ukrainians, and we have taken a significant proportion of those who have fled Ukraine relative to our geography and relative to our population. And so any objective analysis of Ireland's response to the war in Ukraine, I think, will show generosity.
Yeah, and our contribution has been that humanitarian generosity, as you call it. We don't provide military support as other countries have done. And the Ukrainian ambassador to Ireland, Larissa Garasco, has said she's very concerned about these changes. And she said, we hope that it will take into account the interests of the vulnerable categories, such as the elderly, such as children, such as people with special needs, such as women with small children. Because, you know, as I said to you earlier, and she's pointing it out as well, they have difficulties in finding jobs. Now, my question is this: how are you going to differentiate peoples, or are you just going to, with broad brush, say there are 27,000 living in state accommodation, we're going to cut their payments?
Well, we've decided on the policy, but as is always the case, that will be implemented in a humane and a compassionate manner.
And who'll do that?
We have a whole team of people across different public bodies led by the Department of Integration. We have the Department of Social Protection. We work very closely with the wider community sector and, of course, with the private sector as well.
Would you worry, though, it's going to fall between several stools here? Will it fall between Social Protection, the Department of Integration? And these are departments already occupied, and we haven't gone on to the bigger question of the numbers of asylum seekers still coming into the country, and 47 tents down on the Grand Canal yet again this week.
But these Ukrainians are in state-supported accommodation. So the state knows who they are and the state knows their needs. And it is absolutely the case that where there are specific circumstances that are exceptional in nature, where people's basic needs cannot be met by the level of support, that will be taken into account. And this will be done in a humane and a compassionate way. But I do think...
There will be an appeal structure then, will there?
I do think it's important that we bring our policy into line and that we are consistent in the way that we treat Ukrainians, whether they came before March or after March.
Will they have a way to have a hearing that they can make a case?
Will they
receive a letter in the post?
There will, of course, be a way through the system and through the state-supported accommodation and through the Department of Social Protection for them to make the case if there are exceptional circumstances that require additional support. You can do that while at the same time having a policy that applies broadly, and that is what the government will do.
And as you have looked at all the data, as you say, you know then, do you, how many people may well go back home because of these changes?
That's very difficult to estimate. I mean,
we
have seen a reduction, a significant reduction in the number of Ukrainians coming to
Ireland. Since you announced the most recent cuts.
Yes. There has been a significant reduction. I think the daily inflow now is between 20 and 30 at this point. Mm-hmm. It was many multiples of that earlier in the war. So we will see what the impact is in terms of people deciding to leave. Many will want to leave, I think, in time anyway.
Do you think that's a good
others
thing?
Others won't.
Do you think that's a good thing when, you know, Russia is waving at the doors of Kharkiv at this stage?
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that people are returning to Ukraine. I mean, if you think about the millions of people who have left Ukraine, who have made their homes in different countries, you have different family arrangements, different communities have developed different networks of support. So there will always be mobility and there will always be movement in the natural order of things.
And is that what we want in this country? Do we want them to move on?
We're not saying that. I mean, people are welcome here and have the right to be protected and to be safe here. And I think even with this change, when you compare what Ireland is doing, the level of support we are providing, the indefinite offer of accommodation for people who came here, for example, prior to March, that is there, a continued payment of support, I think that compares well to any other European country. But this is a necessary change to ensure the system is sustainable and to ensure that everybody is treated fairly and consistently. And that's why this change is being made.
Well, it has been said, and it's been said by Emma Lane Spollen, quoted earlier, that this government is now pandering to anti-migrant groups, that you're pandering to a radical thuggish element, and that's what's driving this policy. What do you say to that?
I don't accept that. I think if you look at what the state has done since February of 2022, the state, the country, our people, our communities have been welcoming, have been generous. I believe that that will continue over the period ahead. But we also have to ensure that our system is sustainable and that we are fair to everyone and that we don't have an arbitrary cut-off point. And depending on which side of that cut-off point Ukrainian falls, the level of support is different in multiples. I think that would be unfair. And we are addressing that with the change we made yesterday. It will be done in a compassionate way and it will be implemented over a three-month period.
All right. I want to move in on to business and this new round of support for small and medium-sized enterprises to help them with the rising costs. Can you just briefly outline the level of support and who can benefit and how?
Well, my colleague Peter Burke, the Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, has done a lot of work on this. I want to acknowledge his work and his team in the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment, and the package will be formally launched later on today, and I will be participating in that launch. It's a set of measures that I think is fair and balanced. It recognises the reality that for many SMEs, who are the backbone of the Irish economy, costs have increased significantly. So we are seeking to help them and increase a number of different grants that are available. We're making a change, as you know, to employer PRSI. There will be the second round of the increased cost of business grant for businesses in the broader experience economy, in hospitality, in retail, for example. There will be an extension to the scheme, so a further opportunity for people to apply. We're improving the energy efficiency grant, trading online voucher scheme, also increasing the lending capacity of Microfinance Ireland. And we are also asking the ESRI to examine the impact of changes to statutory sick pay, among other measures. But they will all be outlined in full detail later on today.
OK, just a few specifics on the PRSI. Is that linked in some way to increases in the minimum wage?
Yes, because at the moment you have a step effect within the employer PRSI system. We have two rates, we have 8.8% and 11.05%. And if the employees' wages go over the threshold as currently set, then the entire wages are subject to the higher rate. Mm-hmm. So we believe that where an employee is on the minimum wage, the employer's contribution should be at the lower rate in terms of PRSI. So that will require legislation to amend that. It will provide some cash flow benefit to businesses and it is an important change.
All right. And that will that minimum wage will increase in the budget, will it?
So the Low Pay Commission make a recommendation to the government every year. The government considers that and normally around budget time then a decision is made. The government has asked the Low Pay Commission to consider the recent report from the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment that looks at the combined impact in terms of the cost base of businesses of the various measures that have been introduced in recent times to improve working conditions. So they will consider that, take that into account, make a recommendation to government, but the final decision rests with government.
With you.
With government, yeah.
Now, debt outstanding to the state, and this is from COVID, €120 million now uncollectible. This is from businesses, another 12,000 businesses with revenue notices in relation to €200 million in active tax debt. What is going to happen to those businesses who don't pay back this money? Will it be written off, or will they get some sort of a an additional time to pay, or what is the plan for them?
Well, first of all, the tax debt warehousing scheme has been very successful. At its peak, about 3.2 billion euro of tax debt was warehoused across well over 100,000 businesses. We have made enormous progress, and I want to thank the Revenue Commissioners, the businesses and their advisors for all of their cooperation and engagement, and particularly over the last number of weeks. At the beginning of April, that figure was half of what it was at the peak. It was about 1.65 billion euro. As of today, the figure that has not been repaid and is not subject to a phased payment arrangement is less than 200 million euro. The chairman of the revenue will be before an Oireachtas committee later on today. We'll outline further details as well. The 120 million is separate, so that is the amount that is deemed uncollectible due to bankruptcy, insolvency, business closures. But in the context of 3.2 billion, it is a scheme that saved businesses. Without that support, many would not still be open. The bottom line today is that today is the very final day for the remaining businesses that have not engaged, and there are about 11,700 businesses who have tax debt of over 500 euro who have not yet submitted a phased payment arrangement. They need to do that today. By the close of business today, there will be no further deadline, no further extension, and that is in order for them to avail of the 0% interest that I announced back in February and the enhanced flexibilities. In the absence of doing that, the Revenue Commissioners will do their work in the normal way with the normal rates of interest of 8 to 10%. So it is vital that the remaining businesses, and it's a small minority now who haven't engaged, would do so that they can take advantage of what is, I think, a very good scheme, which has worked really well and has saved hundreds of thousands of jobs in the country.
Minister Michael McGrath, thank you very much for coming into us this morning.